Our gracious and eternal Father, as we continue on in thy presence, and as we turn to thy word, we pray for the help and the guidance of thy Holy Spirit, the divine author of the divine book. We pray, Father, that he might now speak unhindered in our midst, above and beyond the voice of the preacher. May thy still voice, still small voice, sound in every heart. And our gracious God, that he might testify of the things concerning Christ and reveal those things unto each and every waiting heart. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. My text this evening, somewhat surprisingly, you may think, because in all probability you may have tried to anticipate the text, but really I want to concentrate upon the 26th verse of this 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And this verse reads like this: "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bonds were loosed." When the Bible speaks of the purposes of God, it says in Isaiah that "my thoughts," God says, "are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and higher than, and your thoughts above my thoughts, and my thoughts above your thoughts." And the hymn writer puts it in another way when he says, "God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform." Because when you read this portion of Scripture, you find that God sent a mighty earthquake in order to save the Philippian jailer. You may remember that Paul and Silas were called of God specifically to go to Macedonia. And they went to the chief city of that part of the world, Philippi. They preached the gospel. In fact, they delivered a demon-possessed woman. And because they preached the gospel, and especially because they had delivered this woman, her masters, who had made much money out of her soothsaying, were very angry. They stirred up a mob of people, and they drove Paul and Silas to the magistrates, and without any trial, without trying to ascertain the circumstances, the magistrates commanded that they should be beaten severely. And so their outer garments were pulled off them, and they were utterly thrashed. Rods were beaten upon their back. And then, to add to their misery, they were hustled away to the prison. The jailer of the prison was charged to make sure these people wouldn't escape. And when he heard that charge, he took them and he put them into the inner dungeon, and he made their feet fast on the stocks. I often wonder, as Christians tonight, what we would have done in those circumstances. What would you have done if you're a Christian here this evening? What would you have done? I fear many of us would have grumbled and complained. And after all, they could have said to God, "You called us here. You specifically told us to come here. Now look what has happened. We've been beaten. Our backs are bleeding. Our feet are in stocks. We're in this inner dungeon, which is probably dank and dark and smelly and wet. And there they were in a dreadful situation. Make no mistake about it, it was dreadful. Mind you, Paul and Silas were not supermen. Some people think, you know, the apostles were kind of a different race from us. But that is not so. They were people of flesh and blood as we are. And elsewhere in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he talks about being perplexed, but not in despair. He talks about being persecuted, but not forsaken. He talks about being cast down, but not destroyed. He talks about being troubled on every side. So he knew what it was. And I feel sure that he definitely was perplexed and maybe cast down. What else could he think? How would you feel? But he did the one thing that we all should do when things are really against us. He began to pray. I have no doubt that he told God all about it. I have no doubt that he told God that you have sent me here. What is happening? You sent me here. I have no doubt that he called upon God to get him out. He didn't want to remain in that condition. And so he would pray, he and Silas. And you know, it's an amazing thing here. Because as they prayed, God met with them in their spirit. God cheered them up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And God met with them. And God blessed them in their own souls. And God renewed their strength so much so that they began to sing. I don't know whether Paul was a good singer or not, whether it was very melodious or not. I remember some of the early prayer meetings in the Free Church. It used to be late on at night, and the brethren, someone would start singing. I tell you, it wasn't very melodious and it was very loud, but the Lord understood. And it was coming from hearts that were filled with His joy. And so it was here. They began to sing. When I read that, I thought about the 13th Psalm. Have you ever read the 13th Psalm? Let me just refresh your memory about that. The 13th Psalm, and it was a Psalm of David, and David felt just like Paul and Silas here. Because in that 13th, it's a very short Psalm, by the way. It's a very short Psalm, just 6 verses. But here's how it starts. And I think it just works in very well with what I'm trying to speak about this evening in this earlier part of the message. It says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever!" I tell you, when you get to that stage, you really are in trouble. How long will you forget me? Forever! How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? So there's a man there in real trouble. And yet, I'm not going to go through the psalm, because that's not what I'm speaking on tonight. But I just want you to notice, and it's just 6 verses, but how does it end? Why, it says there in verse 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord." There it is again. There's the change. First of all, he was depressed. Felt that God had left him, forsaken him, for good. And yet before he ended, he was singing and praising God. And this is what happened here. They prayed, then they began to sing. And they got really blessed in their own soul. And then the God that they had been praying to, the God that they had cried unto, answered. and how he answered. He sent a mighty earthquake, a great earthquake, the Bible says. Now we need to note what the Bible says about this earthquake. Many earthquakes, you know, when they happen, they wreck countries, they can wreck cities, they can create havoc for tens of thousands of people. Many times earthquakes result in the death of thousands. But this was a great earthquake, but it was concentrated. It didn't affect, as far as I can understand, Philippi at all, the other part of the city. But it affected the jail. It wrecked the jail practically. The whole foundations were shaken. The doors were opened. The bonds of the prisoners were loosed. The chains were snapped. And before the dust settled, the Philippine jailer was saved. So I want to look at the earthquake here tonight. I want to look at how it affected the jailer. Because there's no doubt about it, that in the purposes of God, if the earthquake hadn't have happened, he wouldn't have been saved. But the earthquake happened, and it had a tremendous effect upon him. It brought him eventually to a situation where he was saved by the grace of God. The first thing I want you to notice here about this earthquake, the effect that it had upon the jailer, was it demonstrated to him God's protection, God's mercy, God's preservation upon him. I have looked at this, you know, and I can see here that there are three different ways the jailer could have died that night. There are three different ways he could have died. He could have died in the earthquake. Just imagine being in the center of an earthquake and not dying. Just imagine being in the building and the whole thing was shaken. The foundations. Could you imagine how you would feel? Could you imagine sleeping and then being awakened in that fashion, in that manner? He could have died. He could have died that moment. He could have been swept away in an instant into hell. He could have moved from being fast asleep, resting his body, and awakening in hell. The second way he could have died by the law of the land. When he woke, the doors were open. The prisoners were loose. Under Roman law, if you're charged with prisoners and you let them go, you forfeit with your life. You remember when Peter was in jail and an angel delivered him, when Herod heard about it, that Peter was no longer in the jail, he put every guard that was looking after him, he put them to death. And so, that night, the jailer could have died by the law of the land. They would have certainly put him to death if those prisoners had escaped. The third way he could have died by his own hand. He's going to do it. The Bible says there, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Only Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, we are all here." He would have put the sword through himself. He would have died. And when this earthquake happened here, God had great mercy upon this man. God protected him. God preserved him. God watched over him. Oh, he could have died many ways, but he didn't. He didn't. I wonder if I'm speaking to someone here tonight and you're not saved. I wonder how many times God has preserved you. I wonder how many times God has protected you in grim situations. I wonder how many times. You know, in my own saved days, I was very fond of swimming. I belonged to a swimming club. I frequented the bath very often. And on this particular night, I was swimming, and I decided to swim beneath the surface to the other side. But I don't know really what happened, because I usually should keep your eyes open in below when you're swimming under the surface, but I didn't for some reason. And I pulled myself forward, and my head hit the other side, because I had reached it not realizing I was at the other side of the pool. And I remember the tremendous way I hit my head against the side of the swimming pool, and I remember falling back and going right down to the bottom of the pool. And only by the grace of God I kept consciousness, and I was able to drag myself up and hold on to the bar that was at the side of the pool. And I was very, very thankful to get out of that pool alive. I wasn't saved in those days, and I often think about that. What if I had died that night? What if I had never come out of that pool alive? What then? Wonder, am I speaking to someone? You can think back to how God has preserved you in difficult circumstances, perhaps saved by the skin of your teeth. I can remember another occasion when I was coming home from a meeting years ago, and I was coming into Cookstown on the right side of the road, but this other car was coming round a big sweeping bend, right, coming straight for me. He was on the wrong side of the road, and I had to pull my car onto the grass verge, and I'm sure we missed one another by no more than 6 inches. I was really, my car slewed right round and swiveled back, and I was facing the way I was coming the time I finished. And he stopped his car, and when he saw that I was all right, he just drove off again. You're probably drunk anyway. But you have situations like this where you face death, where just in an instant you'd be taken away. But God protected. God preserved. Tell me, you who are not saved in this meeting, has God protected you? Has God preserved you? Can you think back? Listen, He preserved you that you might come to Christ. You're here tonight. The mercies of God continue. You're here in health and strength. You're here in a sound mind. You can think, you know, you can understand what a blessing that is. You're here and with spiritual blessings. It's not the first time you've heard the gospel. It's not the first time you've heard about Christ. Oh, God has been good. Has He not? Has He not been merciful to you? Has He not preserved you? Oh, don't despise these things. Don't think they'll last forever. Settle this matter. Find Christ the Savior. The second thing I want you to notice, and I must move on, I want you to notice about the earthquake is it gives the Philippine jailer concern for his soul. When this man met up with Paul and Silas, these poor preachers, their clothes in tatter, their backs bleeding, they were in a dreadful state. They had been hammered and beaten. Did he take mercy on them? Not at all. He not even looked at them hardly. Just looked at them as two pieces of humanity that he had to take care of for his own life and make sure they would not escape. And he just took them roughly, put them into the inner prison, put their feet in stocks, happy to go away and fall asleep and forget all about them. He never cared for God nor his servants. But I tell you this much, when the earthquake hit, there was a tremendous change came over that jailer. That jailer had faced death. He knew it. He had faced it. He had looked into the face of death in the very eye of that earthquake. He had almost stood before God. He had almost left this life and entered into the eternity unprepared. And he determined, as God had protected him and preserved him, and as he had faced death unprepared, he determined in his own heart that he would settle this matter. He knew, like the rest of us, we must die. One day we will die. One day we will face God. One day we will stand before him, certain, sure, appointed unto man once to die. The Philippian jailer says, when that day comes, I'm going to be ready. So he went in and he cried out, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? That's a cry everybody needs to make if you've not already made it. That's a cry you need to make. You need to say, what must I do to be saved? Because I'm in my sins. I am without God and without hope in the world. The only person who can help me and bless me and save me is Christ. What must I do to be saved? He was concerned that the earthquake brought about that concern. Of course, under the guidance and ruling of God's Holy Spirit. What must I do to be saved? And then my last thought is this. The earthquake gave the Philippian jailer an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel. Thank God he came to the right person to hear that, to answer that question. You know, you may go, what must I do to be saved, to many places today, and you might not hear the truth. You might not hear the way. You might not hear the real gospel. But thank God he came to the Apostle Paul, God's servant, God's honored servant. Although he was suffering, yet he was there with the love of Christ in his heart. And when that man who had abused him, who had thrust him into the prison, caring nothing about his wounds and his bleeding back, when he came and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And my dear friend, that is the key to it. The Philippian jailer took Paul at his word. He put his trust in the Lord Jesus. On the finished work that Christ had wrought out for him on Calvary's middle tree. And he, that very instant, he passed from death unto life. How do I know? Well, what a change there was in his life. Before that he cared nothing about God nor God's servant. Now, when he heard the message, when he came to Christ, the joy of the Lord filled his soul. He got Paul and Silas out. He brought them into his home. He cared for them, washed them. He looked after them best that he could. Then he gave them a good meal and they all rejoiced in what God had done in that man's life and in the life of his home. He passed from death unto life in an instant. Don't talk to me about working your way to God. Don't talk about laboring some means by which you can please God or placate God. I don't want to listen to that. Because the Bible says that it is by grace we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is in the gift of God. It's in the finished work of Christ. Do you know him tonight? Do you know the Savior? If not, then why not? How good he's been to you. Helped you, blessed you, strengthened you, protected you, preserved you right to this minute. Oh, do not presume upon His love. The Bible says, today, if ye hear my voice, harden not your heart. For now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Our gracious and eternal Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless it to every heart. We ask You, Lord, especially for any in our gathering that as yet they know Thee not. O God, may they not presume any further upon Thy mercy. May they not presume any further upon Thy protection. But while Thou art calling, while Thou art seeking, may they seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.